Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
I'm sure that many of you spent this past weekend packing up decorations and finishing off leftovers from your family meals throughout the week. Some of you may be like me with celebrations yet to come. My family and I will travel to Mississippi this week to share Christmas with my mom and my family there. However, when we get back next weekend, I'll be doing the same thing, packing up all the visible signs of our season. So that really leaves us with the question of what is left of our Christmas. Or maybe better put would be to say, what will we do with our encounters with Christ? I hope and pray that each of you can point to a time throughout this Advent and Christmas season that you encountered Christ. A moment or moments when you know you were standing in the presence of the Spirit and seeing the face of God among you. I invite you to think for a minute, take 30 seconds, and call up that time or those times over the past few weeks when you know you encountered Christ. As you're thinking about those, I'll invite you to pray with me. Almighty God, I pray that the message presented here today be yours, that my words may be your words. We ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to hear the message you have for each of us today. May this message be a demonstration of the Spirit's power and nothing of my own. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we go through the message today, I want you to hold those encounters that you just called up right here in the back of your mind, because they're going to be important as we go into the text and see what God has for us to hear today. And truly, friends, those are your Christmases of 2013. Because Christmas, like I talked about with the kids, and we've talked about all through Advent, really is all about celebrating the birth of our Savior and who Jesus is and who Jesus is to us. So your Christ encounters are your Christmas. And today, I want to share with you a story from the Gospel of John that is all about a Christ encounter. In the Gospel of John, the author often gives us characters who present to us models of good discipleship or models of poor discipleship. If you will, they show us what you should do with an encounter with Christ or what you should not do with an encounter with Christ. In this particular story today, the woman is actually an example or a role model for us of what to do when we encounter Christ. So in chapter 4 of this Gospel of John, we read of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Now, some of you may be familiar with this story. Some of you may be hearing it for the first time. Either way, I believe that the text is rich enough and deep enough that every time we come back to it, we can learn and bring away something new. So let's jump right in. If you're following along, I'm going to be reading quite a bit of scripture today. If you have a Bible app on your phone or if you have a physical Bible with you, I invite you to turn to chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 5. So he came to the Samaritan city called Sychar near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" So, we see right off at the beginning of this story, this woman is starting with a healthy dose of skepticism. And her question, that last part, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria, is actually not unfounded. She lived in a time where that would have been unusual. So let's have some historical social context for why she would have responded that way. First of all, in Jesus' day, men didn't typically talk to or address women, especially outside of their families, in public. So Jesus has already crossed a social boundary by speaking to a woman that he does not know. Second, this is a Samaritan woman, and Jesus was a Jewish man. He was born into the Jewish culture and faith tradition. And historically, Jewish people and Samaritan people did not get along. So they didn't do a whole lot of chatting around the water cooler, if you know what I mean. So he's already crossed a second boundary. So her idea, her pushback against Jesus of why are you talking to me? Why are you asking me for a drink? Is actually pretty founded in her case because she is saying, whoa, you're crossing social norms here. You're a man and you're a Jewish man and you're talking to me, a woman who is a Samaritan. Let's see how Jesus responds. Moving down to verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. So she's moved from skeptical to intrigued, but she's still asking questions. You have no bucket. Where are you getting this water? And if you're going to get this water without a bucket, are you telling me that you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well in the first place? She's asking questions, but she's still intrigued. And I think the important thing to notice here is that Jesus is engaging her. He's not saying, whoa, stop asking questions. And he's not expecting her to understand something that she's missing yet. Because she's still talking about physical water. She thinks Jesus is going to give her some sort of water she drinks so that she'll never be physically thirsty again. We know, and of course Jesus knows, that's not what he's talking about. She's not there yet, and he's not asking her to be there yet. He's engaging her where she is and using her questions to draw her closer to where he wants her to be. So what I think this part of this passage does for us is it gives us the license to have questions about our faith. That's okay. In fact, God can use our questions to grow us deeper in our faith. That's what he's doing here. The simple act of asking the questions can be an act of faith. So, let's see how she responds and Jesus responds to her continuing questions. In verse 16, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. I want to start by clarifying some misinterpretations that happen with this passage, and the focus becomes on this woman and her behavior, and I don't really think that's what it's getting at. She may have had five husbands. Some people talk about that being actually referring to idols that the community worshiped. It may have been actual husbands. Either way, Jesus is not standing there talking about her behavior in a way of judgment or to condemn what she was doing. He's using this as a way to reveal himself to her. And that's what the text is getting at. That's what the point of this part of the story is. Jesus is telling her things he shouldn't know. Things that no one else has gone and told him. No way he should know. He's never met this woman. He doesn't know this town. But he uses her identity to reveal his identity. And she gets it. She says, I see you are a prophet. This would have meant to her, I see, you are a man unlike any I have ever encountered before. Something different is going on here. So she's moved from skeptical, why are you talking to me? To intrigued, tell me more about this water. To now I see you are a prophet. So what does she do? She's had her Christ encounter at the well. How will she respond? We find out in verse 28. Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. She goes and tells her people. That's her response to her Christ encounter. What I love about it is it's an honest testimony that doesn't obscure the questions she still has about what's going on. She simply goes and tells what she knows. Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah? She wasn't sure, but she shared anyway. What a beautiful story in our scripture to tell us that even when we're unsure, we have questions, we can still share what we know. We can still go out and tell people what our Christ encounter is. What has Jesus done for me? The second part of that is that she invited them to come and see, to come and have their own Christ encounter, to come and discover faith and Jesus for themselves. So it goes beyond just sharing what we know about Jesus and doing it boldly and even if we have questions, but it's also about inviting those people to come and have their own encounter. You see, I think it's important that we don't have all of the answers. Because if you go and share your faith and you want to have all the answers and all your ducks in a row and you're going to be able to just knock down every question somebody throws at you, I think that we lose credibility when we try to do that. Because I don't think that people are really looking for a fairy tale faith story. I think they're looking for something gritty that they can sink their teeth into, that's real to them. And that comes with questions. And this story tells us we can have them. Let's see how the people respond once they come. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. So her testimony did make a difference. She invited them to come and see, and they came, and they asked Jesus to stay longer. And it's because of their Christ encounters that their faith grew. She simply opened the invitation. It is the Spirit, it is God who does the work of changing a heart. We are the tools to be a part of the invitation to participate in that beginning. It says it right here in the text. It's no longer because of what you said that we believe. It's no longer because of her testimony, because of her invitation. It's because of the invitation of Christ and the experience with Christ that each of those people started their faith journeys. And we miss opportunities to be the tools for the Spirit to use when we don't share what we know and when we don't invite others into the conversation. So I believe that the story of Jesus and the woman of Samaria gives us hope, inspiration, and comfort. In this text, we find hope that our natural tendency toward questions is okay. It's a human part of us, and I believe God expects it of us. What kind of faith would we have if we didn't ask those questions? How could God move us along if we don't? This woman was not afraid to engage Jesus, and he engaged her right back. We find inspiration in this story because this woman, even on the shaky beginnings of her faith, went out and shared what she knew. She wasn't sure of everything that had just happened at the well. She wasn't sure if he was the Messiah, but she knew she had encountered something different, and she wanted to share that with the people who she loved and whom lived near her. So she invited them to come. And because of Christ and their experience with Jesus themselves, they were able to believe, not because of what she had to say. We find hope in this story because people came in response to what she was saying. Her honest testimony was a part of the work of God. And we can be that also for others. So I asked you to hold in your mind this encounter that you had with Christ over the last few weeks, or maybe more than one. Maybe there's one that goes even further back, the beginning of your faith journey. I would ask you, who will hear that story? Who are your people that you will go back to and invite to come and see? Come and see the Lord. Come and have their own encounter with Christ. It's not our responsibility to use divisive language or judgmental attitudes. It's not our responsibility, certainly, to walk by with our heads shaking and our eyes downcast to say, I hope someone else tells them who Jesus is. It's our responsibility, our call as Christians, to invite others to come in and be a part of something we know is so beautiful and life-changing. And we don't have to have all of the answers to do it. God calls us to God's self. God could use all different means to bring people nearer and into relationship with the Lord. We can just be afforded the opportunity and the privilege to be a part of that by opening ourselves up intentionally for the use of the Spirit and making that invitation to others. So who will encounter Christ because of your testimony, but grow their faith journey because of their own encounter? I'll leave you with that today, and I invite you to pray with me. Gracious God, we thank you for our encounters with Christ over this season and throughout our lives. We ask that you will stir us up and lead us boldly to share and proclaim the good news and our personal encounters with you. God, we pray that you will continue to show your face to us, that we might continue to have a message to share. And we ask that you will open the hearts of those around us, that they might be open to hear the message, the story, the encounter we have to share. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.